Things in the precious name of Jesus this morning. A beautiful Lord's Day, we can be together here, and we're happy to be here with you, not necessarily up here, but we're glad to be here. This is a kind of privilege to be at a church, a small church similar to what ours is back home. And just to clarify, I am originally from Rarisburg, but Rarisburg has started an outreach, so we go to Victory Chapel. So that would be where Teresa would have taught as well. So I feel like I don't know many people here, but I hope not too scary. Don't look like it. So anyway, we'll see what God has for us this morning. I've been blessed to be here. I was thinking about, on an Easter morning, as you think about the beautiful sunrise and everything that happens, it just seems right? When you have an Easter morning, the sun is shining, and upon the first day of the week, the sun comes up, and it's there. And I appreciate the singing that we had first thing. That just seems right. You know, we praise, we thank God for what he has done for us. And what Jesus has done, what he was willing to do. And let me think about that here this morning. So as I was thinking about a message, we want it to be spirit-filled, right? We talked about that. On a Sunday morning like this, it's like, oh, there's not really much else. You're sort of picked out, right? You gotta speak about Easter. So we're going to talk about that this morning here. And I was looking at that. You can turn to Matthew 27 a while. I was thinking about that. You know, what aspects do we talk about with Easter? What all? You know, we could have looked at the disciples. We could look at the soldiers. A lot of different people that are involved in that. The women that came to the tomb. We'll look at some of that. The questions. The miracles that happened. The gardener. Was he a gardener? No, he wasn't. We know that was Jesus. The person who donated the tomb, right? Many different things that we could discuss and consider this morning here. The fact is, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the backbone of our Christianity today. What we are doing today, what we have, the backbone of the gospel. And without it, there's no gospel to preach. Without it, we are of all men most miserable. So this morning, I want it to be a joyful message as we sang and as we continue to think about what God has done for us. We are not most miserable because Jesus rose from the dead. We have life, and we can live that way this morning in our lives. There's many little different little details that we could look at in the happening of this event. So much is recorded in scriptures, and I went through and I read different of each of the gospels here in regards to the resurrection here. This morning, and all of them have a different view, right? They all come from a different angle, and they put a little different more twist in. We're only going to basically read Matthew 27 here and 28, but we see that. God gave us just enough to see the marvel of the resurrection. I hope that inspires you as you leave this place that the resurrection is, that's what gives us life. That which gives us hope as we think about that here. We know we'll turn here, Matthew 27. We know what happened, so if you have Matthew 27, you have your Bible open there. 27, 57 to 61, we could read that there, but we know how it happened. Matthew 27, verse 57, we know how Jesus of Arimathea came, and he got the body of Jesus off the cross. He says I think at one place it says that he begged the body. One place it says that he came boldly and he wanted the body of Jesus Christ. And he wanted to treat Jesus right. I don't think he didn't understand. He didn't know what all was happening, but he understood that there was something special about this man. And you have the women at the cross in 56, I think, 55, 56. Talks about them. They're there. They're watching afar off as Joseph of Arimathea. And I think this passage doesn't talk about it here, but talks about Nicodemus helping him as well. And they take him off, they put him in the tomb. And you know, I thought about Joseph. You know, he had to stick his neck out there a little bit, probably, thinking, you know, he was one of the leaders. He was the one that says somewhere that he was not in favor of this happening. So he stuck his neck out there and said, hey, I want Jesus. I want to put him in the tomb. Put him in his own personal tomb, it says, treating him with care and respect. And then we see how they closed up the tomb. They rolled the stone over the door. And we say that was done, right? If you were back in that day, that was done. And each one of us, we've all probably had family members that passed away, or some recent, some maybe a little while ago, whatever it may be. And you know all the different finalities of that, right? You lose your loved one. Oh, I can no longer talk to them anymore. And then it's the death and the viewing, the funeral, the closing of the casket, the graveside. Finally, you know, the lowering the casket, putting that vault on top. Everything just seems final, right? It just seems this is done. The first shovel full, and finally the grave is full. It's done. It's over. They're gone, we say, right? We say, oh yeah, they're gone so many years or whatever, they're gone. And back then it appeared like that's what happened to Jesus, right? They had put him in the tomb, he was gone. It was done. I think the disciples probably believed that, the women believed that, everyone believed that. He was dead and buried, and all hope and dreams were dashed. For Satan and the Jews, the Jewish leaders of that day, there was a victory won, right? They thought they had him. He was destroyed. So they thought, right? However, 2,000 years ago, early that morning, brothers and sisters, the big stone was rolled away. I don't know what you think of it. I like getting mind pictures, a little bit of thinking about that stone. And I have no idea what this, we don't have any pictures from back then other than what we have in Bible storybooks, right? And that's someone's imagination, the same as mine. Just not too long ago, I think it was two, three years ago, we were at a church for a wedding. I don't know if it was a Baptist, I don't remember what the church was, I'm a big church. And I walked in the foyer and there was this big round, it was Easter, right before Easter, this big round stone. Looked like a stone, and they had it, and they rolled it right in front of the tomb. Big round thing. Here was a big tractor tire, I believe, with it blown up, and they had a big sheet over top of it. Looked pretty real. And you picture that, and like, I don't know what this stone looked like, but they thought that this was, they rolled that in place. It was done. It was final, right? That's what they thought. But hallelujah, he lives. He lives within my heart and your heart today. We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. The stone, a picture of finality that was moved, still speaks to us down through the ages today. Jesus said that even the rocks would cry out. And that's what I'd like to just think of this morning here. The rolled rock, if you want to call it there. The rock that was rolled away. The title this morning is Messages from the Stone That Was Rolled Away. It's a little long title there, but I think there's some messages that we can like to think about here. So Matthew 27, starting at verse 62. We looked a little bit there, 57, what all happened up to 61. Verse 62. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, which was Saturday, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, He is risen from the dead, so the last error be worse than the first. They were concerned about this. Pilate said unto them, Ye have a watch, or you have a guard. Go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Chapter 28, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. For fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell him, his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail! And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money, much money, unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this commonly this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. I'll just stop reading there. This is just one account. There's a lot of different other accounts that feed into this and sort of. But we have this part of the account Friday evening, taking Jesus off the cross, putting him inside. We have the Sabbath on Saturday, which was a high day, the Passover. Then we have the first day of the week, which is Sunday morning, which we are here today. Considering the stone that was in front of the sepulcher, 28 verse 2 says that it was a great stone. I think it says it there. Or says it was rolled away. This morning I want to be clear that I don't think that stone had to be rolled away for Jesus to get out. I know that stone, I shouldn't say I don't think. That stone didn't have to be rolled away for Jesus to get out of that tomb. But I think there's a reason that stone was rolled away to down through the ages. You and I today realize that there's a finality. This is truth that Jesus is alive today. Jesus is here. Down through time, for the benefit of you and I here this morning, that we can read this story today and tell others, see, the stone is rolled away. To encourage faltering humanity that in times of doubt and discouragement, maybe even ourselves, promise for ourselves that Jesus is alive today. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. Scriptures tell us that after Jesus' death, he went and preached to the spirits in prison. And First Peter 3, we could talk about that. So I believe maybe Jesus had already gone from that tomb. That stone didn't need to be rolled away. He was already gone. He says he went to, he went to those in Hades and spoke the gospel to them and helped them to understand. And Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 40, "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." In 1 Peter 3, we get the window in what was happening in those 3 days. And I don't know exactly what happened there, but Jesus went and he talked to those, it says he preached to the spirits there. Those who have been faithful, I believe. Those who have been faithful, interesting that on this Passover day, you know, they were very familiar with Passover. They understood all the blood that was shed for them over the years, all the blood that needed to be shed. And here was Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, explained to them, "I did it. Covered it. I have given my life." And they found that freedom. Ephesians 4 verses 8 to 10 says, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things." Just simply saying that Jesus' body didn't need a stone rolled away to get out. I don't believe. Didn't need that. I would like to look at these at about seven messages. I'm going to call them messages or points, maybe, from the stone that was rolled away this morning. Messages that speak and inspire us 2,000 years later. Here we are 2,000 years later. All because the stone was rolled away. That stone was rolled, it was moved and you from the tomb, and you and I, we have truths. We have some facts here today. Number one, I just got to go through these here. Number one, I have seven of them. Number one, it gave validation that Jesus was who he claimed he was. The Messiah, our Savior, the Son of God. There's nothing like the power of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. An open tomb. Jesus had, you know, that proves that the lost world that he indeed is who he said he was. He told the people all around him, that he is the Son of God. And this is just validation. This rolling away of the stone is validation that Jesus is. Because without the resurrection, Jesus' death would go without divine interpretation and endorsement. You know, the stone was rolled back as a signal. The stone that was rolled back as a signal, a clear signal, that Jesus is a powerful Son of God of who he said he was. And reigns as Lord over all. Romans 1 verse 14 said, "And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead." Jesus did this. He rose from the dead. He was prophesied by David in Psalm 16 verse 10. "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." They prophesied this. Job talks, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand upon the latter day." upon the earth, at the latter day upon the earth. Jesus said himself, as Jonah was in the whale's belly 3 days and three nights, you know, I will be there too, but I will come again. Matthew 16, verse 16, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must be killed and be raised again the third day. So he talked about this. And this gives validation that this is exactly what happened. John 2, verse 19, he said, destroy this temple, talking about himself, said, destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. They didn't understand that, but here he was, giving validation to this. And that stone that was rolled away is a message today that Jesus was who he said he was. That this was what he talked about, it was what he said was going to happen, happened. This is what was there today. Without the fact that the stone was rolled away, none of Christ's promises would be trustworthy, right? Jesus could have promised all kinds of things. But, you know, finally, the final fact is that when that stone was rolled away and Jesus is not there, that gives validity to the fact that he is who he is. It's trustworthiness. Amazing promises did come true. Throughout history, there have been many false prophets, Buddha, Muhammad, just different people, different men who had promised that, you know, they were wonderful leaders and they're the answer to this world's problems, or they're the answers, different ones we could talk about. But you know what? They all died, and they're still dead today, right? Well, their spirit's living, but they have not risen again, right? They are dead. Jesus, today, though, that stone was rolled away, and he is alive. And because of the power over his own death, we can hold on to every promise that he ever made. And sometimes in my weakness, I'm going to talk about myself here a little bit, and I think probably I'm not much different than you, but in my weakness, in my flesh, you know, sometimes I doubt him. And I reach out to other things, but you know what he says? Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, he says. I will give you rest. So why do we reach out to other things when Jesus is who he said he is? He is there for us. He is the Son of God who he said he is. And we see that from, he has the answers. Why would I be tempted to reach out to other things? He is the Son of God. He has triumphed over death itself. He is unstoppable. He is victorious. He is the King of Kings. Hallelujah. The empty tomb is a reminder of his faithfulness. Number two, it's a message of promise to the weak. It's a message of a promise to that rolled away stone is a message of promise to the weak. You know, that stone was never meant to be rolled away. They put that stone that says they secured it, right? Mark 16, we have the account of the three women who prepared the spices. They came and they were going to anoint the body of Jesus. And it seems almost like as they were walking, it almost like it occurs to them, suddenly they look at each other and said, who shall roll this away of the stone? Like they obviously were never, they weren't, they knew of themselves, they were never going to roll this thing away. Another place I think it says that it was very great. The stone was very great. Definitely bigger than what three women could push away, probably, or even men. I don't know exactly how that all was, but in Matthew we read that they took it here, where I read it here, it says they took it and they sealed it. They set a seal upon it. And in my studies, there's a couple different ways that it talks about them sealing that. They could have put some type of a mortar around it to seal it shut. One thought that they maybe could have put a rope around the stone and took it back to the side and mortared that in. That, you know, if that was broken, there was evidence that something that was tampered with. But it seems like they want these Jewish leaders of that day, they were very concerned about this. It seems almost like they wondered, you know, this man, something might happen here. What's going to happen? And it seems they wanted to make sure that this was covered. They wanted proof that this stone would not and did not move. It was not to move at all. I don't know. Yeah. Life, you know, life seems this way at times. You know, the devil would like us to believe that there is no way out sometimes. I don't know, on things. It's no use. But this message of the stone being rolled away is for those who have no strength. It's for those who can't do it of themselves. Those ladies were on their way. They did not have the strength to push away. But when we look back at the account of what happened in Matthew, to me it's glorious. He says, a wonderful picture of what Christ can do. He came down, says an angel came down and rolled that stone away. I don't know if you can picture that and see what actually that looks. It says, and he sat upon it. That was simple for God. That was very simple. and sends shivers up my back as you think about what, how that looked as that great earthquake and all that happened there as he rolled that stone away. Example of God's power and what he can do in our lives. Those who have no strength, that is the message of the rolled away stone. Those women came and they realized that the stone was already rolled away. It was moved by God's power. And 1 Corinthians 1 verse 25 says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. You know, God, that rolled away stone is an indication or is a message to us that there's power for us. For those who are weak, there's power for us. Those who become weak in and of ourselves, as we think of, yeah, we are weak. We can't, we just said many times we don't always want to admit that. So what man tried to do with his own power and thought he had under control, God moved with just one angel, and then he sat upon it. A great illustration of victory, I think. Jesus, while on this earth, spoke about a rich man hardly entering the kingdom of heaven. He said, "How?" And they said, "How then?" And God and Jesus said, "With men, it is impossible. For with God, all things are possible." Right? We're familiar with that verse. Today, as we look around, and you see, you don't have to look very far, and you see many people who are trying to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps, we call it, or trying to do their own self-help program, or trying to do this and trying to better themselves, trying to somehow get through life with their own, by their own abilities, by their own willpower, whatever it may we call it, because of their wrong choices that they made. And they try to better themselves and take things into their own hand. Man still wants to be their own God. Man still wants to be able to make himself as good as he can by himself with his own ways. But you see what Christ can do. You know, we see that. What the power of the gospel do when we become weak, when we come to him in our own weakness and brokenness, he can roll away that stone for us, whatever that may be in your life, in my life, and sit upon it. That's still a message that rings down through the ages of time today. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. All fear is gone. I think that song so it says. All the darkness, the clouds, the struggles, the temptations. In our weakness, looks like a huge mountain sometimes, but because of the power that God has, that Jesus had, and that stone that was rolled away, and the victory that he's overcome death. Number three, it was and is a message for those who choose to believe a lie. There were two groups of people who chose to believe or to tell a lie. It was the Roman soldiers, and it was the religious leaders, right? It was not under pressure that all of a sudden, well, we're just going to try to cover this. No, they purposely, it says that they got together, they sat down, and said, you know what, we're going to figure out a plan here. Fabricate this story that they took counsel, they decided that it was what they were going to say, to tell the soldiers, to the people. They had full knowledge of the truth. I believe they looked at that. It says these men fell down as dead men, right? They knew what happened. These soldiers, this wasn't something that they, I'm sure the rest of their lives they remembered that day. I'm sure that there was nothing they could do about it. They got together, they had a meeting, they took counsel and decided that, you know, this is what we're going to tell them. They had full knowledge of the truth. And I wonder if you would ask those men 10, 20 years later, after the church had started and everything was happening, what really did happen that day? I wonder what they would have said. I don't know that. Maybe they would have squirmed around and stuttered and lie some more, but I don't know that. But you know, that message of the stone being rolled away still convicted them down through the ages of time, I believe. As they thought about the stone that was rolled away by something other than human strength, this message had to convict them. Those men who had chosen to fabricate and believe a lie. And somehow believe that in the moments when they were alone years later, maybe they still heard the messages of the stone, the message of the stone that was rolled away. They still in the back of their mind, that stone was rolled away by something. And that reminded them again. And how fearful the word speaks to those who have chosen to believe a lie. You know, we can shake our heads and say how terrible thing was that they did. But you and I are any different sometimes, you know. We sometimes or the other, we try to believe a lie in our own life, maybe. Well, you know, it's just a little failure, a little weakness that I have, or just a little slip that I do every now and then, or something, a tendency that I have. And we choose to believe this lie that, you know what, it's not that bad. But you know, the finality is that someday you and I are going to stand before Almighty God. We're going to stand there someday too. And that the power that Jesus had that day to roll that stone away has power for us today as well, to live above that. Maybe it's a deep hurt. Maybe it's bitterness, unforgiveness against someone who wronged us. I can never give that up. Maybe it's a hidden moral sin. No one can ever find that out. It could be anything that we choose to believe a lie, that there is no victory for the problem. We say, well, there is absolutely nothing. I cannot get over that. And you see people around today like that. You know, I'll never get, I can't tell that. Like, no one can ever find out about that. But you know, many times we can be just as guilty as those soldiers were. How do we live our lives? Does it show that we believe in the empty tomb, or are we still trying to live in bondage and a lie and a hypocritical life? And you think about your own life, and I know sometimes that I can do that. The message today of the empty tomb is proof that Jesus broke the bands of death, broke the power of death. One of the reasons he had come to live on this earth and to die was to do that. Hebrews 2 tells us that he came to this earth like he lived like us. He faced temptations like us. He faced trials. He did all this to deliver those who all their life were subject to fear. And he came to deliver that so that he could break the power of Satan. He came, it says, we know about the first Adam, and Jesus came as the second Adam. First Adam had a choice, and he sinned. The second Adam, Jesus, came, and he had a choice to sin as well, but he chose not to, and he lived a life that was perfect and kept living a life, and he broke that power of sin, the power that Satan had over people, humanity. No longer Satan have control over man's life like he once had. The power and the bands of sin and death were broken in ways that we don't fully understand that. It didn't matter what lie those men chose to believe. The fact is that the stone was rolled away from this tomb. Jesus rose victorious over all sin, and he will someday judge the earth. And you know, we have to reckon with that today. Every person will stand before Almighty God. Satan's power is broken and is broken today. Number four, it's a message for all people then and today, 2,000 years later. You know, he spoke to the woman who approached the tomb that morning. The stone was rolled away, and Jesus was not there. The rolled away stone spoke to the woman that day. It was rolled away, and Jesus was not there. It spoke to the indifferent, those who didn't care. It got out there in the news somehow that this man, Jesus, had the tomb was empty. When the woman ran to tell the disciples, it says that they laughed, and their words were as idle tales, it says. You don't know what you're talking about. And they didn't believe them. But you know what? You know, after a while, it spoke to Peter and John. And finally, they couldn't resist it. And they ran to that tomb. And sure enough, that tomb was empty, right? It spoke to them. It spoke to the rich. I don't know how long, but obviously he found out that the tomb that Joseph of Arimathea allowed someone to use, he could use it again, right? It was available. It was empty. It spoke to the hardened Roman soldiers, I believe, as they fell that day before him, and they realized that something happened. That tomb is empty. The gospel message is for all, regardless of race or social status. Galatians 3, verse 26 to 29, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized unto Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ. If ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You know, the Jews of that day put great confidence in being a Jew and being part of Abraham's seed. And all others were dogs and heathens and sinners and outcasts, right? But now Jesus came and the promised down through the ages that all the world would be blessed. And breaking down that middle wall petition, it says, he did away with that. You're all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Romans 10 verse 9 says, if thou confess and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him, thou shalt be saved, right? It's a message down through the ages to no matter who it is, right? Doesn't matter who it is, but he promised it. Today it's not circumcision, it's not by shedding of blood, animal blood, not by the rituals, but through faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? And what he has done. The stone that was sealed at the tomb was rolled away. That's the message today. And it's for all of us. It doesn't matter if you're a man, a woman, bond or free, rich or poor, race, a different race, a different color, whatever it may be, whether you live in Africa, Australia, Russia, all different parts of the world, Jesus, that message of the rolled away stone still speaks down through the ages to all the world today. It was a seabed of the church. It brought many men together in unity and is still doing that today. Praise God and thankful for that. And down through to us today, us as Gentiles, that we've been brought into the kingdom. Number five, it's a message of light in darkness. What does the word gospel mean? Well, it means good news, right? Good news. And you know what? You don't have to look around very often, very far, and there's not too much good news happening. You look in the news, if you want to call it news. There's not too much. There's killing. There's all kinds of things that are happening. But it's a message of hope today. The good news that we have. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. I'm just going to read a couple verses there. First Corinthians 15, starting verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there be no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith also is in vain? Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. You know, if it wasn't for the rolled away stone and Jesus leaving that tomb, we would be of all men most miserable, right? We would be, our message, the message or our Christian life would be in vain, if you want to even call it that, would be in vain because we wouldn't have a new life, a new hope. We have the message of good news. As Christians, do not have good news to give people, then we, our preaching, our teaching is in vain, right? Our life is in vain. I was thinking about that. You know, all the people that we meet. I don't know why I work in public in the hardware store, and so I meet people every day, and a lot of different people. Maybe it's the people we work with, or maybe it's customers that come in, neighbor who's living in sin, the depths of sin, making ridiculous choices, maybe we say, we look at them and like, wow, why did they do that? Maybe they have filthy mouth and they're into drugs and gay lifestyle. I have pretty many of those around in our area. Perverts, we call them, drinking, sports driven, gambling, no money. They're living in shambles, their lives are in shambles. I think you know what I'm talking about. You see people around like that, wrecked homes. And we say, it keeps going down, 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 down. This just seems like a downward course. And maybe at times, I've already told people, you shouldn't talk like that. You know, your lottery tickets, it's a waste of money, waste of your money. Or, you know, you shouldn't really be doing that. That's not good. And maybe we tell them sometime, maybe we get as bold as say, you know what, you're going to have to answer to God for what you're doing. And they are sinning. And we tend to quickly condemn them and tell them what is wrong in their life. But so often, I don't give them the good news of salvation. There is something different, that they can live different beyond there. That not just the fact that they're living in sin, they probably know that, but the fact is that we have something to give them, life, that they can live a message of hope. They can rise above that. They can live life differently. They can come out of the mess. The good news is that the stone was rolled away. There is hope. There is a way out. Do we show them that way out? I thought about that. Maybe it's a family member who's walked away, close friend. That, folks, is the resurrection, as we explain to them the good news of life, of living. It's the backbone of the gospel, the light in the darkness. That's what we have today to talk about. We have more than just works and condemnation message. But it's a message of hope that Jesus can help us rise above that and live above that sin and live a life that's different. I think it's very, very important. Are we living like this in our life? Are we living above that and living a life that is different? You know, how easy is it to point out the problem but not give the answer? The stone that was rolled away still has good news for us as sinners 2,000 years later. It's a hope in darkness. Jesus Christ, who was sealed in the tomb, had risen from the dead. He broke the bonds of sin. The resurrection means that we can have hope. Hope in the trials of life. Hope in the darkness. Folks, our faith is not in vain. We are not of all men. We don't need to be of all men most miserable, right? We have something to talk about. We have something to share about. I think that's a wonderful thought as I think about that. It's a message of light in the darkness. Just this week, I was talking to a neighbor, and I was challenged by it. I knew he was from New York City. You could tell in his accent. And he's like, "I never tell you my testimony." I said, "No, I don't think so." And was born in New York, lived on the streets, went to the bottom of the pit. He lived there, ate out of the trash cans for years. He lived on the streets. A long story here, but eventually he got saved. And he's living in Lebanon County, changed man. I was like, wow, that is, he was living there on the streets, holding his cup out every day, trying to get money, just money for the next shoot that he could have of heroin. But he was all proud to tell me, or proud if you want to use that word, but 12 years, he's clean, 12 years. I said, wow, that's great. That is the power of the light and darkness that can change people. Doesn't need to be him. It can be us as well, right? Any of us. It can change us today. Number 6, it gives us a message, promise of life after death. Romans 6. We turn to Romans 6 here, 3-8. Romans 6, verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized unto Jesus, were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. The message is, it gives us a message or promise of life after death. The death and resurrection, the empty tomb, the stone that was rolled away is an illustration of what needs to happen in your and my life. We need to die to sin, and there's life after. You know, it's a springtime here, right? Farmers are going to start planting sin. Well, many of you probably plant some things. And that seed, that thing dies, right? It dies, and there's new life. Jesus died. He was put in the tomb. It was over. But you know what? New life came out of that tomb, right? To the power of God. It is an illustration of what needs to happen in your and my life as we do that, as we die. We were buried with him by baptism into his death. I think it says there in 1 Corinthians, I think it is, except a corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, it abideth alone. And we know that when we die to self, die to our ambitions, to our pride and what we try to be, we seal it in the tomb, as it were. We lay it, we give it to Jesus, and we bury it. We throw our life on Jesus. And Jesus rolls back that stone and gives us new life. And that is just amazing to me, how Jesus does that. Very beautiful and becomes fruitful. And his spirit, he gives his spirit to us. That stone was rolled away so that you and I can have life, and we can live. We can have new life, life after death if we die to sin. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is supposed to be an illustration to us, exactly what happened to you in my life if we do that, as we die and we are raised again. Jesus can take a sinner, someone who is bound by sin, when they fall upon this rock and die to self and give their life to him, he can take them and make them into someone, something usable. He can do that. Sometimes he can lay his finger on my life and say, you know, it's part of the sanctification process. But Jonathan, you know what? You need to change in this area. Maybe you put your own life in there. We wrestle with that And we maybe fight it and say, no, I don't think it could be a struggle for us, whatever it may be. And finally we submit and we lay it down. We understand. We know the blessing that comes out of that, the wonderful blessing that comes out of that. Why do we struggle so hard sometimes? But, you know, God wants us to just lay it down. Paul said, I die daily. And that's something that you and I have to learn to do every day. Finally, when we submit, and it's a blessing. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the power that sin once had on a person's life is gone. Romans 6 brings this out. Because of Christ's resurrection, because he went through all that he did and lived a sinless life, the power is broken. Yes, we still have the tendency to sin, but we are not held by the same chains that the world around us is any longer. We can still be, sometimes we need to allow Jesus to release us and let us go, to give us freedom. We need to die to self so we can live. And sometimes it's a process that happens slowly, maybe over time. We look back, we realize that God really has changed me from the inside out, and he changed my desires and the way I look at life. And we see that maybe in a process of growth as we change. The process maybe is setbacks or hurts, and we realize that God was working in our life, and God had it all worked out in his life. Yes, we are still tempted, but God is there. There's a power that is there, and we know it's real. Ephesians 2 verse 1 says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. He hath raised us up. The message of the stone that was rolled away still stands today, the power of it. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Number 7, the last one I have, is the message of the rolled away stone of a future with him. 1 Corinthians 15, if you go page back there again, we were just there. 1 Corinthians 15. A promise that all who know Christ will experience. 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 51. This is Paul writing here, talking about the resurrection. Behold, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. You know, that's a promise for us today as we think about that. You know, this old body that we live in with our aches and pains and our problems is going to be changed someday, right? There's going to be a resurrection. It's going to change. I don't know if you have a graveyard out here somewhere, but you know what it's like with those we put our loved ones in the grave. Someday there's life that's going to come forth. Those graves will be blown apart, right? That life will come forth because of the stone that was rolled away. We will have life. John 5, verse 8 and 9 says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which that all are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto resurrection of life, and they have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Friends, one day it will be worth it all. We see Jesus. There will be a bodily resurrection. For Philippians 3, verse 20-21, for our conversation is heaven, for whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. This morning, the message from the stone is clear. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. This corruptible body, this one that's falling apart sometimes, maybe we say, the body that is nature to sin that we struggle with, and the body that has problems and aches and pains, will someday be changed into a glorious body. Are we looking forward to that? You know, we try so hard to feel good in this life, and I'm not saying that's all wrong. Try to stay healthy and all that kind of things, but someday, in eternity, it'll be worth it. All because Jesus rose from the dead, the stone that did not stay sealed, the grave could not hold him. Today we serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. He has broken the bars of death, and today we have the message of good news that we can share. May God help us to live that and to show that every day in our life, in your life, in my life, that this is more than just a story back then. this is something that's alive today. Down through the ages, 2,000 years later, you and I are still living the living result of that stone that was rolled away, that Jesus that rose and can give us new life today. May God bless you as you go throughout your life. Be faithful to him. Shall we kneel for prayer?